gentlemen, for that beautiful song. Well, it's a great honor for me to get to stand up here tonight, and I'm very humbled to get to be here and share a word. I feel like the least likely person of the whole table where I was dining who should be standing up here. I'm very honored to be here with my dad, and I thank the Lord for him, and what a great blessing and legacy he's paved for all of us in loving the Lord. And, of course, Pastor Doug Fisher, my friend from San Diego, California. And what an encouragement and blessing Brother Fisher's been to our church. And at some key moments when the enemy had set things up for our church in a very bad way, God used Pastor Fisher and did some amazing things, and I'm looking forward to hearing him this week as well. And preacher, what a joy to be here at Good Shepherd and just see all that God is doing through you. It's beautiful, and I hope all of you members of the church here don't take your pastor for granted. He is a special gift from God to you. And just like the good music, you hear it all the time, you kind of get accustomed to it. Don't forget, there's a lot of churches with much, much less than the good man of God you have here ministering with you. And what an honor to be with Brother Shemesh and how his words always speak to my heart. And I believe every time he speaks, the whole room empties out and he's just talking to me, and it's something I need to hear from God about, but it's a great blessing. Well, they tell me that I am speaking and I'm holding up your dessert. And so they told me, don't go on and on, go on and off. I understand. I know what I'm supposed to do tonight. If you want to look in the scriptures for just a minute, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm just going to share one verse with you and then a couple thoughts surrounding this verse. This is my 11-year-old son Adam and my first time in Australia. And Adam, wave at everybody so they can see you. Hold your hand up nice and high there, man. And I just am having a great time here. I like it so much in Australia. I called my wife and talked to several people back home and said, I'm going to stay in Australia. And I don't know if you follow the situations in America, but there's a lot of people who snuck under the fence, so to speak, and they're living in America, and they call them dreamers. They now dream of us just handing them citizenship. And a few weeks back, they had a protest in California of the dreamers were blocking traffic, hoping that the American Congress would see this and vote to let them be citizens. So I told my son Adam, I said, we just need to go block some traffic until the Parliament votes to let us be citizens of Australia, because your country is beautiful, your people are kind, but none more so than the good folks here at this church. What I'm going to talk about from 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2 is something that ties closely along the line of your church hosting this conference. And as a collective body of believers in Christ, and under the wise leadership of your pastor, you're doing something, and it isn't just all the details of what you're doing. What you're doing is what I want to encourage you about tonight, and that is this: invest in someone spiritually. Invest in someone spiritually. This conference is a great burden on your church of the labor, of the resources, of the time, but it's a massive investment for the kingdom of God. And so your pastor is willing to carry this burden to put that investment into the harvest field for the Lord. And for that, you can be grateful. But on an individual level, I want to talk just briefly about investing in somebody spiritually. Look with me, and we call it 2 and D, Timothy in America. I read an article on the BBC a few weeks ago. They said the English language is going to be completely destroyed by Americanisms within 15 years. And so I apologize for bringing an Americanism in your church, but 2 Timothy and chapter 2, verse 2. Paul writing here says this, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He didn't say, take these faithful men who will do the things they've been taught until they die, and who will have lived a good, godly life, and count on them. He said, I want you to count on the men who can take the teaching, take the truth, and transfer it to one more person. Take the things that they're receiving, take the disciplines of God that they're living, and transfer it to one more person. This happens when we invest in someone spiritually. I had the blessing of sitting down in the lovely room the church had there for Dad at the hotel apartment center there, and we were talking, and Dad was just talking about the investment to be in Australia and in the time constraints and just the pressure that it creates, and then of course the financial resources to get over here and all that's involved in making it happen. And what he was really describing to me was that this is a spiritual investment he's making. That these men, Brother Fisher, Brother Shimish, even coming up from Thailand, and Dad coming over from the States, they're not here to win for themselves. They're here to invest in all of us this week. We're the beneficiaries of a massive investment from some great men who've walked with God. And as we invest in others spiritually, like the leaders of this conference have done, I want to give you a couple thoughts, okay? First of all, you need to invite continually. The world needs to be invited to church. Brother Peter, what a blessing you are. Wave so everybody knows what a delight this guy is. He's such a good driver. I've stolen him from your church. I'm taking him back to America, and I'm just going to have him drive with Brother Gibbs forever now. So say goodbye to him when we leave, because we'll be taking him. But no, it was a great delight to hear Brother Peter sharing with Dad and talking about a friend from work who he had invited to church. It is a win when you invite. It's up to the Lord when they come. You need to invite people continually. They say in business you have to advertise and touch a person between 7 and 9 times before they respond. You've got to invite and invite and invite and invite until finally they come. Do you realize you have nothing to lose? Because 100% of the people you do not invite will not be here Sunday morning. Think about that. You go, well, I invited my coworker, he let me down. I invited my mom and she didn't make it. I invited this person, they stood me up. I invited this friend from school, they couldn't make it. Go back around and invite him again.
Yeah.
You're making a spiritual investment.
Yeah.
Where else will somebody hear that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Nobody ever goes to the Father except through Him. They're not going to hear that anywhere else they go until they come and hear the man of God bring the Word. If we're going to invest in people spiritually, we've got to get them in the door of the church. We've got to get them in the door of our church where we know what the message is about. Well, they have their own church. Isn't that wonderful for them? Your church is better than their church. I don't say this pridefully. I don't say it mean, but you don't know what they're hearing. You don't know if they're really bringing the Word of God to the ears of the hearer, or if they're just wasting time in religious nonsense. Bring them in, invite them. I encourage our people. I said, you know, tell people, I'm going to buy you lunch. I'll come by and pick you up on Sunday. You pick them up a little early and say, hey, before we go to lunch, I got a stop I want to make, and bring them by the church. If somebody wants to borrow some of your tools, if somebody needs help at their house from you, say, you know, I'm going to help you paint that garage after you visit my church. You see, that sounds like you're bribing people. Exactly. Exactly. You know why? Because if I could bribe every person in your town to hear your pastor bring the Word of life to their ears, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? If we're going to invest in others beyond ourselves, we have to invite somebody to church who's going to take over our seat, who God's going to do a work in their heart and life. So invite continually and leverage your every action to get people in the door of the church. Then I want to give you a second thought. As we invest in somebody spiritually, we don't just invite continually, but we need to spend generously. They say the best things in life are free, and sometimes that's true. But where investments are made, there are returns. And when we invest spiritually in somebody, statements are made. I was a 9-year-old boy. My parents were struggling and working very hard. Dad had an upstart missionary ministry that had so much demand on it from all corners. And one day my parents called me into the living room and they had a box. And it wasn't my birthday, it wasn't Christmas. And they opened that box and Dad wrote in there, and they gave me what at that time, in today's dollars, would be all of $100 or $150 Bible. They said, now this is going to be your quality copy of the Word of God, Matt. You're going to read this every night. You're going to keep it in a special place. And I think about that investment and wonder if it had anything to do with me getting to go into the ministry. You know, we buy things for people all the time. You go, well, they can download the Bible for free on their phone. Yeah, that's cute. I'm not talking about that. Why don't you go and buy a quality copy of the Scriptures and deliver it to a struggling brother who doesn't go to church anymore? I just was thinking about you, and I bought this because I want you to have it and put it in their hand. Why don't you save up some money and go home to your kids and say, you know, we spend all the money on school and shoes and games and toys, but this time we're investing in something spiritual so that you'll know how important the Lord is in our life. I want to invest in you because there'll be a return and I'm creating someone faithful to follow after me. I believe if we're going to invest in somebody spiritually, We have to keep inviting continually. There shouldn't be a Sunday that rolls by where there shouldn't be someone who had the opportunity to either come or stand you up for church. I believe we ought to look at how we spend our money and say, I want to use the resources God has put in my hand to invest in somebody's life. But then the final thought I want to give you here about investing in someone spiritually. Invite them continually. Spend generously. But third, we need to speak and confront lovingly. You know, there was a time in my life when I didn't know some of the things that God's allowed me to master now. You know, there's some people who still think it's perfectly okay to come way late to church. There's some good people who still think it's okay to come 3 out of 4 Sundays and feel like that this is their pastor and they're pretty faithful to church because, after all, they go here with family and they go here and they do this amusement and then they squeeze a couple of churches in and then they go back out and do another thing or two. They need a faithful brother to come alongside of them and say, hey, let me share something that would help you. Make church the priority and stop missing. They need a faithful brother to come alongside of them and say, you know, I struggled in my own life in an area, and God helped me. The Bible says, faithful are the woundings of a friend. I wonder what we do because we've been taught by somebody who cared about us. You know, if you're a faithful tither to the Lord's work, we're not talking about bragging about our offerings and snapping our check above our head before we put it in the offering plate. But is there somebody who you could teach the same love for the Lord in financial discipline that you practice? I don't want to just tithe until I die and have been a faithful tither. I want to help somebody else get the blessing too. I want to teach another man how to do this. I remember one particular time I was in church late in the evening. Service had gone long and somehow I had a little ball of paper. I don't know if it was from a breath mint or what it was, but I was probably all of 5 years old. I had that little ball of paper, and during the invitation time we were standing there and I got tired of holding it. So I did what all church kids do. If you have those pockets where the songbooks are in front of the old seats, just holding that ball of paper, and I thought, I'm going to stash it in there and no one will know. But I did what every good convict does before they commit their crime. They scan the horizon, right? So I scanned the horizon holding that ball of paper. I was just about to put it in there. And an old usher was standing there and he looked at me. When his head shook, it was like the power of God raining down on my little soul. You know, to this day, I'm somebody who cleans the church instead of somebody who's trashing it. Because one faithful man was willing to do what needed to be done. I wonder who you could help. I was talking to one of my church members this past week, and he told a story. Such a godly man and such a powerful example in our church. And he told a story that when he was younger, he walked into church with a t-shirt on, and it had different faces on the t-shirt of people that he would have felt were heroes at that time. And he said an usher caught him just before he went in the door of the sanctuary, and he said, come here just a minute. And he put his arm around him and he lovingly told him what was wrong with those ideas. I wonder who there is who God would let each of us lovingly help become who they need to be for the Lord. This conference is a massive spiritual investment. It shines as an overlaying example for all of our lives. Now I believe we personally have a calling to go invest in somebody spiritually. I thank God, and I think each and every one of us could testify tonight. I thank God somebody invested in me. Now, who can I go invest in that they too could bring fruit for the kingdom of God? Amen. Well, guys, why don't we have a quick prayer, and then I believe I'll no longer be holding up the dessert, okay? Let's bow together if we would. Our Lord and Savior, You're the example of all things. But Lord, I thank You for the men that You put in my life who spiritually invested in me. Lord, those who gave up money, those who gave up time, those who invited me even to meetings like the one this week because they wanted to invest in my life. And Lord, I pray my life will bring forth fruit for Your kingdom. But Lord, I pray You'll help me tonight. And I pray You'll help every man in this room tonight to develop a heart that says, I need to invest in somebody spiritually. Maybe for just a moment with our heads in a prayer-like spirit, you could just ask and say, Holy Spirit, show me my prime candidate. Show me number one who should be on my list that I need to invest in spiritually. And God, as You reveal that person to me, as You give me that name, as You show me that face, I yield to Your will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to invest in them that they too could be fruitful for Your kingdom. Lord Jesus, hear the prayer of every heart in this room. Thank You for those who've come from the local area. Thank You for those who've traveled far. And Lord, I pray You'll put a special anointing on the remainder of this great meeting as it kicks off. Lord, bless the work that's been laid out. Bless the Word. Give us a heart to receive it. And Lord, may we as this great church be investing in others spiritually. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen.